Hey everybody, this is Stu Smith with another Tactical Fitness Report, and today we're going to do something a little different, where we're going to talk a little bit about a professional sports background, Ranger military background, and how these two guys are going into the occupational therapy or kinesiology background of what happens. So we're going to parallel tactical fitness with occupational fitness in jobs that are fairly physically demanding. So welcome, David Irons and Kevin Wynn. So
thanks for having us here.
Thank you for your time in this. So let's just start off. Either one of you can start first. David, a little bit, what's your history a little bit about and what you're doing now in the company?
I'm just coming off active duty with the 1st Ranger Battalion out of Savannah. It'll be 4 years by the end of the year. I've been active with that group, but I spent 2 of those years as a sniper in a sniper platoon supporting a regular infantry platoon. And fitness is really important to me, and especially just like helping out people. So in regards to that, so I connected with Kevin here, and he's working in the marine industry with injury prevention, and I thought it would be a good parallel, good shift to get into that field. But more or less, that's kind of where I'm at right now, is just starting out with him and working that area.
Mark. Kevin, go ahead.
So my name is Kevin Wynn. I've been working in this type of field for about 10 years. Recently, we started the company HealthWorks Kinesiology, which is a sister company of HealthWorks Medical. It's based in Paducah, Kentucky. The kinesiology division is like David alluded to, it's more of an injury prevention type system that we put together, try to keep people healthy. Prior to that, had more of a sports background, like you said, Stu, and played baseball growing up. My dad's actually a pro baseball scout, so baseball was always my life. My brother played minor league baseball collegiately. And really had this sports focus growing up. And my plan, you know, once I finished playing baseball, I was going to start coaching baseball and basically do that and have a career like my father. And then, you know, it's just funny. God just always puts you on different paths and you always end up in different directions. And what I loved about baseball, I love the sport and I love competition. But what I really loved, and I almost say I like coaching more than I did playing, I really loved the aspect of leading people and, you know, letting them see that they're capable of more. And that was the most rewarding thing that I got from coaching. And then I started thinking back on playing baseball, was that's what I love too, is helping my teammates, you know, push my teammates and help them become better than they were before. And so I realized that even though I love baseball, what I really loved it was those leadership type things. And then as I transitioned out, I got a job working at a physical therapy clinic as a technician. Once I got released, I played for the San Diego Padres in the minor leagues for a little over a year, and just was kind of a carryover job while I was trying to figure out the next step, and started to like it. And then I got introduced to the occupational world, and it didn't take me long to realize that, you know, the occupational world are very similar to athletes, and we call them industrial athletes, the tactical population, right? You're doing physical things all day long, and there's really nothing in place to keep these people healthy, and we're not giving them strategies. You know, when I played baseball, I had trainers, I had a strength conditioning coach, we had all these plans. But then we're asking people to go work, and like David said, we work with the marine industry, so the barge companies in particular, and they're lifting ratchets that are 65 pounds over their head all day long. They're carrying wires that weigh 80 pounds. They're working in harsh conditions, hot conditions, and realizing there's a need to give them some strategies to prevent injuries and keep them healthy and make them and maintain that health over the course of their career. So it's kind of my background. That's where I am today, but really loving giving people strategies to stay healthy, but more importantly, helping them realize that fitness is possible, that you don't have to always be stagnant. You don't have to be where you're at, and seeing people overcome obstacles through that is pretty rewarding and amazing for me.
So I guess either one of you can answer this, or both of you can answer this one. How have you guys seen the similarities of your previous life, whether it's Ranger Battalion or it's professional sports or semi-professional sports. How have you guys seen that compare to what the average person that you're dealing with in the industrial world, or, you know, the marine industry? When we say marine industry, we're not talking about United States Marines. We're talking about people that are on boats and working in barges, longshoremen, you know, those type of things.
I'll go ahead and answer. I mean, yeah, I mean, again, on paper, it looks very different. But like you said, I mean, it's important to realize that people, what I've realized is similar to sports, and Dave, you can jump into, it's similar to military too. There's big groups of people, you know, there's big groups of people working for a common goal. And that's what I really try to focus on is how do we motivate these big groups of people, and get them moving, working collectively to make themselves better as individuals and as a company. And that could look different ways. It could be, you know, physically, obviously, is what we're focused on. But we even try to focus on more than that. We try to focus on, you know, just them being more intentional in their lives. Because if you have realistic goals and you make that a consistent part of your life, well, then you're going to be more active and be more healthy. So I guess that team environment is the big thing. That team environment. You can kind of.
Yeah. So this one's really interesting to me because this is kind of why I got interested in doing this in the first place. But like, people ask me all the time, what do you do in Ranger Battalion? Well, if you're not deploying, you're going to schools all the time. And a lot of those schools are pretty rigorous. So, I mean, I went to Ranger School. It's a 2-month course. I was there for 5 months and I lost 20 pounds. It takes a toll on your body. And the point of it is that it's just go, 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 go. And there's not a lot of time unless you really hone in on taking care of yourself. You see two different things. You see an older guy that takes care of his body, and then you see a younger guy that's just young and he can recover faster. But, you know, in between, you're bound to get injured. And so it really emphasized to me the importance of doing things the right way, whether it's lifting something or taking time to stretch or whatever. But the point of that is that, you know, whether you're going for a 12-mile ruck today or you're in mountain phase of Ranger School, you know, you really got to focus on taking care of yourself. And then I can really correlate that to the let's just say the barge workers. They do a really tough job, a really hard job. They're out there, like Kevin says, lifting this heavy equipment. And a lot of them don't understand the importance of taking care of themselves. I think it's just how we're kind of built, maybe. So we're here to say, hey, you know, take that extra time, that extra step to stretch for the morning or after your work or whatever, so that you can do this for another year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever the case is. But I mean, there's so many similarities as far as mindset and just general labor and work and just like, really, you're in this for the long haul. You know, I mean, you've got to take care of your body. So I think it's actually a real strong correlation. Obviously military is different as far as the job set, but I think taking care of your body is a similar thing for sure.
That's a good point. What would you say would be the most common injuries that you see?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. So some data came out the last couple of years that for the first time in history, shoulders have surpassed low backs for the most common work-related injury. So we see a lot of shoulder stuff, especially in our work. You know, they're doing a lot of overhead lifting and stuff like that. But that's even true for, you know, the person on the assembly line. And so, you know, we start investigating why are we seeing more shoulder injuries? And there's a couple of contributing factors. One is the way we work now. So after the recession in 2008, you know, a lot of companies got really lean with their work shifts. They went to more 12-hour shifts, a lot of overtime. So people are working more, right? The other is people have to work longer. So with the recession, you know, investments were ruined, retirements were ruined. So people are working longer in life. They're supporting their kids longer than they used to. So we have an aging workforce, people working a lot longer hours. And then the other thing we've looked at, if you look at isokinetic testing, some of the research that's come out is people are just generally weaker in their upper body than they used to be. I mean, you think about, and Dave and I are part of this generation. I mean, we have a generation of people that are entering the workforce that have just not really done much physically. They don't go outside and climb trees anymore. They don't, you know, do those things. They don't have that just general strength. They don't go work on the farm anymore. So we have a lot of people that just are physically weak. So seeing a lot of shoulder injuries, a lot of low backs. I mean, low backs are still very common. So, you know, a lot of people are just, we sit all the time. We're just super weak in our core. So seeing that kind of stuff. But, you know, we talked about, I was kind of going back to the last question. We talked about why they're similar to, you know, why occupational stuff is similar to the military or sports, but there's also, it's very unsimilar too. So the difference, I guess the big difference is in the military or sports, you have people that are all motivated to be healthy, to get strong, get bigger, faster, stronger, right? And we're in South Central Kentucky, and it's no secret. I mean, we're not the pinnacle of health in this area. We're pretty much top in all the bad statistics, basically. So what's hard about what we do, and it's probably a little different from your clientele, Stu, is that we're trying to figure out ways to motivate the unmotivated. Because a lot of people, I talk to people, they just say, I don't care if I die young. I don't care if I'm out of shape. Like, it just doesn't matter to them. And so we're being really systematic on, and I think we're taking a different approach to this, and I hope it's, and I think it's working. I think it does work. You know, for a long time, an injury prevention program, when I first started doing this, was let's put a poster on the wall, some stretches, you know, that you can do before work, and let's send some emails, you know, that talks about, you know, getting so many steps per day. And the reality is that doesn't motivate anybody, and nobody does it too. And, you know, it doesn't work. It looks good. Like, you can tell HR and all these people that you're doing these cool programs, but I don't like doing stuff just to do stuff and go through the motions. And you're like that with a military background. We don't want to waste time. So I want to be intentional with my time and do stuff that actually impacts people. So what we have done is we have ambassadors that we've developed with our program that are just, you know, maybe have really cool transformation stories, health stories. And one person in particular is a really neat guy. His name is Kevin Lashley. He's a firefighter in Kentucky. And Kevin basically went from being 70 pounds overweight, smoking a pack a day, to not being able to run. He set a goal to just start walking 1 mile a day. And that turned into running a mile, and it turned into a 5K and a 10K. And now he's, you know, he's doing ultra marathons now. And so he's and then Southeast, he's a very competitive ultra runner. And so we brought him on board as an ambassador. And what does that mean? Well, he's a person that's not associated with our company that, you know, has a cool story to tell that people can relate to. He's kind of an everyday guy. And he's representing us at races and different events. But the other thing we're doing with him is, when we launch with a company, for one company, we're about to do this, is we're going to set a treadmill up in front of that front entrance, the front door that everybody walks through. And let's say they get there at 8 o'clock, he's going to start running on that treadmill at 7:30 in the morning. And he's going to run on that treadmill the entire workday. So for 8.5 hours. So he's going to be running when they get there, and he's going to be running when they leave. And our message isn't that you have to be this ultra runner, but what's that going to do? It's going to get people talking, right? It's going to be like, what the heck is this crazy guy doing? You know, and it gets them thinking, man, if he can run for the entire day that I'm at work, I can at least walk for 5 minutes on my lunch break. And so we're trying to take a different approach like that and really connect with people, and then give him a platform to tell his story and hopefully just impact people. And that's, you know, so we want to get away from being the poster on the wall or the program that HR just sends out that we hope you do. We want to dig deep and figure out what gets you motivated, and we want to connect you personally. And then within that company, we have ambassadors as well that are working beside them. We give them some basic tools to point them in the direction of fitness and do some extra training with those people. So we have people that are internal that are representing us too. And that's the whole goal of this. I mean, you know, we need companies, we need to save companies money by preventing injuries. I mean, that's why people have us come on board, but that's not why I do it. And that's not why David does it. We just want to motivate people. We want to change their lives. And so I think we started with the why behind what we did. What we wanted to do was we want to motivate people. We want to get them on this fitness path. We want them to realize that they can overcome boundaries and all those things. And then we kind of figured out how to do that. So we kind of work backwards. A lot of times people start with the, what they, you know, with the product, and then they try to figure out what the why behind it is. Well, we already knew the why. We just had to figure out how to roll that into this product. So,
well, that's really good. And, you know, you can't go wrong when you are focusing on making someone else better.
Right.
You know, no matter what your goal is, if that's your ultimate goal, it doesn't matter how you get there, but that why is very important. Like you said, yeah. I remember when I first started, and you used the term earlier, industrial athlete, you know, the term tactical athlete didn't exist when I started. And I remember, you know, coming from the athletic background from high school and college, and then going into the military, I just remember, you know, there were a lot of people in the military, law enforcement and firefighters, that just did not think of themselves as athletes. Mm-hmm. And I think in the last, well, probably from, say, 95 until 2010, the term tactical athlete evolved, and it was kind of created, and people started, you know, instead of saying, I started this world writing out about military, law enforcement, and firefighter fitness. Didn't quite roll off the tongue when I explained what I did. Right. You know, but now I just say I write about tactical fitness. And when I first heard the term, I was like, I'm going to write a book called Tactical Fitness because I've been doing this for 15 years already. But yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, I think people don't treat themselves as athletes. And that doesn't mean world class at anything. It just means, you know, if you have a job that is somewhat physical, you need to take certain steps in order to be able to age into that job. Otherwise, at 30, you're going to be broken and going to have to find somewhere else to work.
Right. Especially in these industries that we're working with. I mean, it's just so labor, you know, full, and it's, you really got to take the extra time, you know.
And I think also even like removing the work aspect, like, you know, I working in therapy, I've had so many patients that come in and they pulled a hamstring playing wiffle ball with their kid in the yard, you know, so yeah. Or running with their dog in the dog park or whatever. I mean, and so we never put ourselves in these situations to be able to, you know, be active with our kids when we want to. So, you know, just do, and all it has to be, and you know this, it's like 5-10 minutes a day of just some preventative body work can go a long way. It's easy, it's simple. And if you can do that, I mean, you can, you know, when you come home, that's what I tell people. We want to keep you healthy at work, but it's not just a work thing. It's a life thing. It's not, you know, we don't want you just to be healthy at work. We want you to be able to go home, run with your grandkids, play with your kids, and do all those things, you know? So I think I always try to keep that in my mind too, is, you know, I just see so many people hurt doing just regular everyday activities, you know?
Yeah.
So
and you mentioned, you mentioned the shoulder. And, I mean, how many times have you seen people throwing a baseball or a football in the backyard at a barbecue? And they're going to have to go get a surgery because they just, you know, overdid something that they haven't done in a decade.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I really like that idea of fitting it in when you can. And like you said, it's little life-changing steps like, you know, walking for 10 minutes before or after any meal. I mean, if you just do that, you walk 10 minutes after every time you eat, you know, that's 30 minutes of walking. I mean, that's right. Life-changing. And then another life-changing thing, if you turn soda into water, right, oh, yeah. Just take out soda and turn that into water. I mean, you could lose 80 pounds in a year just by doing that, you know, adding a walk every meal and adding water instead of soda. I've seen guys drop 50 to 75 pounds more, you know, just by changing those two little things.
Right. Little habits go a long way, you know, and that's important to stress with these people too. And we talk about that on some of our content on social media and And hopefully it's going a long way with them.
And I think too, I mean, I think, you know, some people, and then you have the people that maybe people that listen to your podcast that are, they're working at a company, but they're at a whole nother level. They do take this stuff seriously. And I think you can connect with those people too. I have a quote I don't know if I came up with it or not, but I heard it at one point, but it was put yourself in tough situations and then force yourself to succeed. And so for those people, that's kind of my message is, you know, things are going to get hard. So if you're training for a race or whatever, just replicate those things over and over. Make it as hard. Make that training phase. Try to replicate the hardest part of that race, and then force yourself to get through it. And I, you know, for me, I got into and 5-6 years ago, I was kind of in a place where my fitness wasn't great and I wasn't happy with myself. I was kind of that transition zone out of playing sports and stuff, and realized I had to make a change. So I got into running and so I've done a few smaller ultra marathons. The longest I've gone is 50 miles. But I will say every time I start a race, I'm a different person after that race. You know, when I finish it, you know, I'm a totally different person because during that 8 hours or 9 hours that took me to run 50 miles, you know, I've gone through so many different mental things. I've thought about my life, and then I literally change in 9 hours. And for me, that's amazing. It's such a rewarding thing is to put myself in those situations. And when I get through it, and especially if I succeed, that's irreplaceable. And so I think we also have that message for people that maybe are a little bit different place fitness wise is we try to connect with them too. So.
Yeah. You know what? And it's addictive. I mean, in a good habit way, you know, it is, you know, having that feeling of accomplishment. You know, I had a kid the other day that won a race that we did. You know, I throw these, I call them spec ops triathlons, where you'll like this, we run, we swim, and we ruck, right? So instead of run, swim, bike, we run, swim, ruck. And if you're a ranger, you know, you'd love to
pack on my back a few times.
Yeah, so, but the run, swim, ruck, we just call it the Spec Ops Triathlon. It's a lot of fun. And this guy won it, and he's like, hey, when's the next one? You know, he just wants to do another one.
Yeah.
And he goes, I got my taste of winning one, and it was a lot different than him just, you know, accomplishing it. So it you can go up so many different levels of progression, you know, whether it's walking 5 and going up to 10, you know, minutes after or once a day or once every meal or whatever, to, you know, winning races. And, you know, that progression is not out of the question of anybody's journey.
Right.
It just depends on, you know, how much you want to go after it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, I think too, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think too, kind of going back to people and goals, whether they're big or small. One thing I know the military's taught me, and I'm sure you can attest to this too, Stu, is that, you know, you'll be surprised what you can do if you put yourself in one of those situations. You know, if you take, I like the term, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, if you sit back and you look at the big picture, you might get overwhelmed. But if you take it a small bite at a time, saying, you know, I just got to get through today, or I just got to get to the next MRE, or if it's a worker, you know, I just got to get to my lunch break, whatever, you just break your day up, you can achieve a lot more than you previously thought. And you know, that can apply to anybody. That can apply to a Navy SEAL or Army Ranger, someone working in the marine industry, or someone that's working HR at a desk, whatever. You can make goals, big or small, and you can achieve things. And that's part of our message too. Like I said, that's part of the reason I really like working with Kevin. I think we have something that we can put forth that's actually beneficial with people that maybe don't know that they can do certain things.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because we, you know, going through Hell Week, you know, it's 120 hours long. It's 5 days of just nonstop going. And you definitely break it up to every meal. You know, you just make it to the next meal.
Yeah.
Make it to the next meal. You know, it's like every 6 hours you get to eat. It's not like Ranger School where they starve you. You actually get to eat every 6 hours, and which is fuel for freezing your butt off.
And
a lot of activity, but you know, you're exactly right. You have to break these things down into little consumable steps, you know, whether that is walking 5 minutes or it's, you know, bigger events like you just mentioned. So great job with that, because you're exactly right. It's so hard to find what's going to motivate somebody. You know, for me in the tactical fitness world, I always say one day your life or your buddy's life or someone you're trying to help's life will depend on your fitness level in some way, whether you're strong enough to carry them, whether you're fast enough to get to them, where you're, you know, whatever that is. You know, it could very well depend on your fitness level. So are there any types of things that you guys are able to share with people that are in this industrial athlete world that is similar to that?
Yeah. So you're talking about programs or what?
Well, just little things that catch people, right? The little things that like, never thought of it that way. Maybe I really should work out a little harder because I train like my buddy's life depends on it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think for the most part, I've noticed family is a big motivator for people, you know, and just really connecting that back to, you know, being able to go home and do activities with your kids. I mean, that as simple as that sounds for a lot of people, that's a big deal, that bothers them. So I think we try to really focus on family and kids and stuff like that. And then also just maintaining health, just for quality of life. I think quality of life is a big focus too. Talking about that. So just simple things that, you know, there's probably nothing, I don't know that I've ever related it back to like, you know, protecting your coworker on the line, but on the river though, I said the river is it's a very dangerous job. And so there are times, on the river, thinking about that more specifically, that your buddy's life could depend on it. Honestly, if there's, you know, if you've a barge is loose or whatever, you've got to help them or rescue them, or if somebody falls overboard. So it is a very extremely dangerous job. So and that industry in particular, it is important. So we may get into that a little bit with those guys. If it's more like a manufacturing facility, we probably don't talk about that stuff as much. But
oh, absolutely. But I wasn't meaning necessarily the exact same kind of phrasing, but you know, if there were things that, like you said, the family motivates them to want to work a little harder.
Right.
So you know, maybe they don't feel pain at the end of the work day. You know, so they can play with their kids and things like
that. Yeah, and we talk about this, being able to move healthy and just not, because man, it's crazy. And you deal with this, like everybody's in pain all the time now, you know, and unfortunately, the way our current medical system likes to deal with it is we just want to give people a pill or, you know, but we don't address the problem. And sometimes you need the pill. I'm not saying that you don't always need that, but sometimes you can just make, you know, 5 minutes of healthy, real targeted and specific movements a part of your day, and that's going to alleviate that pain, you know, and that's a healthier way to do that. And so almost looking at movement as medicine in a way. Mm-hmm. And so we do try to give them strategies that way. And we focus on, because people are just, and it's young and old. It's amazing. We do for some pre-job testing, we do carpal tunnel testing. So it's a nerve conduction test where it will check the function of their nerves to see if they have carpal tunnel or not. And you would think it'd be like the 50 to 60 year old person that's showing that they have carpal tunnel, but it's not. It's like the worst are like the 20 to 30 year olds, because everybody's sitting on their phone texting all day long, or they're playing video games or whatever. So it's amazing. And then what I see is like they all have back problems because they all sit all day long texting, and so they got super tight hip flexors. I mean, it's just like this cascade of stuff. So it's not like a people that are old that are in pain. We see it from 18 years old to 60. I mean, the whole spectrum. And so we do focus on that, just as far as, you know, being able to not be in pain. You can do these simple movements, and your quality of life will be, you know, greatly enhanced.
Right. Now, does your company also, you guys also have, like nutritionists that can, also assist with, you know, eating the right foods, so you're not, you know, enhancing that inflammation response that you're
right
from sitting too much or doing too much?
Exactly. Yeah. So the kinesiology division focuses more on the movement, but then we have a wellness division. And then, so what we do for companies, we'll combine together and give them a more comprehensive program. So one company in particular kind of wanted the whole package. And so we've got, through our app, we've got, you know, their daily 5-minute routine, movement routines that everybody does before they start work. We have kind of like a modified assessment, kind of like a modified functional movement screen they can do. Nice. And then from there, we can give them targeted self-care routines that they can do. But also, we have nutritionists available too. And so they'll get alerts from our, you know, video alerts and stuff like that, like a text message, just checking in with them. And then people that want to take it a step further, we'll give recommendations and stuff like that. Simple things, simple meals you can make, to give them simple strategies. But then if they want to take it a step further and work with them one-on-one, they have the ability to do that too. And same with our, we have fitness trainers, we have physical therapists. And so if they want to take things a step further and have a more one-on-one session, we give them that availability as well. So yeah, because you're right. It's so much of wellness in the industrial world is like in buckets. So it's like, here's your, you know, here's our fitness thing. We use a company for that. Here's our people that do diet. Here's the people that do, you know, behavioral health or whatever. And you shouldn't have a bucket approach. It's all works together. And that's what we're trying to do, is really give them a full package.
Nice. So explain the app that you just mentioned. What is that about? I would imagine the size of your company and the number of people that you have to reach, that reaching them virtually is the better option.
Yeah. So, and we're actually just rolling it out. So we're finishing, we're started with a few companies. So it's a kind of a new development for us, but we realized like the best way in today's world to connect with people is through their phone. I mean, everybody's on their phone, yeah, right? So back then, we used to use like a website you would go to, and that's too cumbersome, you know? So we knew we needed an app. We needed to be able to give them direct messaging and give them strategies right on their phone. And so what it has, what we do, and of course this is, we do it for companies, so we don't do this for individuals. So if your company decide, okay, we want to bring on HealthWorks Kinesiology, we want their MoveWell system, they would have all those employees in that company would have access to the app. And then what we do is we go in and we analyze the work, kind of look at it and see what type of warm-up routine, dynamic, and we call them movement routines, would be. We've gotten away from the pre-work, just static stretching stuff. We, you know, pre-work, that's not gonna do much for you. So we call them movement routines. So we have a 5-minute routine that they will do. It's on the app and it's got videos and explanation, but basically they do that every day at work. And then the ambassadors within the program will lead those routines for them. And so everybody's going to participate in that. And then on there, they have the ability to take a functional self kind of functional movement screen and see what their limitations are. And then from that, one of our trainers will connect with them and say, hey, you know, this is Kevin. I saw that, you know, you really had some limited hip mobility on your screen. I'm going to assign you a self-care, another 5-minute routine that you can do at home. It's a self-care routine that's going to work on that. And then we also have, some people may fall in this red zone where, whoa, like you've got a lot of limitations. You say you have pain with all this. And then we would connect them with our physical therapist, Wade Weatherholt, who's really good. And he'll say, hey, you know, I see you've got some stuff that's a little bit more serious in nature. I'm a physical therapist. I want to do a virtual appointment with you, see what's going on. Here, I'm going to prescribe some exercises and stuff you can do. So that all happens through the app. And then if we do challenges on there, so we may have like a 4-week challenge, a fitness challenge. We do weekly education, so they're going to get sent like every Monday. We send videos about proper lifting technique or desk setup or whatever our topic is for that month. So targeted videos, and we look at their injuries. So everything we do is more systematic. So we don't just, you know, throw some videos at them and hope it helps. We look at their injury data from the previous 3 years and see, okay, everybody's hurting their backs in this one area. And so we're really going to make that a focus on our education and make it real targeted. So we send them targeted education videos that focus on those type of things. So there's that piece of it. And then within that, it's kind of a community too. So we know community is important. So they're able to kind of cheer each other on. We have different groups set up within there. We do challenges maybe between different stations and stuff like that. So maybe in the forging area, you know, they've got their group, and then we've got the assembly area. And so they'll have challenges and we'll get prizes and stuff like that. So that occurs on the app. So there's kind of that community aspect. And then if they're wanting more, say they're wanting a 12-week program or, you know, to work a little bit more one-on-one, we can assign those through that as well and then be working with a trainer and connecting with them. So we're pretty excited about it. And again, trying to get that comprehensive approach. And then if they want the nutrition aspect and the wellness part piece, we roll that all kind of in there too. So they're working one-on-one through there with the nutritionist and stuff.
Man, that's what I would say that the importance of education and access to that information is critical, especially when you have a huge company that you're working with. It just sounds like you have all the stuff that you need to have a functioning system, that's going to be helpful, from generic training and information to actually personalized information. That's the future of this. Tell me this, share with us, some of your, like, if you had a poster to put people on, right, that were your poster children for this program, in your experience of the years, like, what is the one that comes to you the most, like, right in your head? Which one that comes right pops in your head of a guy or gal that just tore it up and just completely changed their life in a matter of, a year of the program?
Yeah. I'm kind of going to speak a little bit more. So I started with this whole program is only about 6 months old. So as far as I've done this for a long time and I can think of so many, there's a bunch of people that come to my head that were just, we had a guy that was struggling with neck pain for like 10 years. And this guy has gone to chiropractors. He's done pain management. He's kind of been through the whole circle, right? And we came out and had him go through a little movement screen and showed him some really basic, real focused, like, here's some stretches you can do. Here's some soft tissue work you can do. It's basically like a 5-minute routine. Like 2 months later, that guy calls us back and is like, my whole life has changed. And it kind of blew my mind. He's like, I have no pain anymore. And he's like, because of that, I'm able to go play basketball. I'm able to do all these things, which has kind of led him. He's still kind of on this fitness journey now. And it all started with like these simple stretches and soft tissue work. We use rollers and stuff to do some work with soft tissue kind of stuff. But to me, that was like so rewarding. I'm like, I didn't think anything of it. It's just simple stuff. But, a lot of people don't have the answers or don't know where to turn for these things. So, so he jumps out. But there's been a lot of stories like that, just simple. It's just one or two simple things that are real targeted that people do on a daily basis and they're consistent with. We've had a number of cases like that where it just puts them on a different path.
How about you, Dave? Anything comes to mind? Like in your decision to get out of the Army and go into this world, there had to be something that was instrumental in, giving you that inspiration to want to go do this. Was it a particular story about yourself or somebody maybe you had helped and you really enjoyed that? What was your journey there?
Sure. Kevin, I can think of a lot of people, especially within the Army. But I don't know, especially in the Ranger Battalion, on a daily basis, you would see people overcome huge obstacles. I mean, whatever it is, a fitness obstacle or whatever, we have people training up to go, go higher in their military careers at different units or training up for some kind of selection or whatever, going to this school or that school. And just, I think when I was at First Ranger Battalion, I think what really struck me is just like, you have everyone else in society, and I'm not saying that, they're any different than these people. I just think that you have a bunch of people within the Ranger community that like realize their full potential in a lot of ways. And that struck me, and I was like, wow, if we can achieve these things here, and I'm sure you can attest the same thing, imagine if we could have take this mindset and put it to people working normal jobs and think about what they could accomplish in their quality of life. And I think just the environment and being around that culture really struck me. And I was like, this mindset isn't just for people that are Rangers or whatever. This mindset is something anybody can have. They just don't always know it. I didn't always know it until I was there. And you go through these schools and you go through the training and you push yourself to a point or you don't think you can go anymore, and then you can go 10 feet more or whatever. So it inspired me, and I want to raise the quality of life for just, you know, the average person, I guess. And so I would say that would probably be what really motivated me to try to get into this field.
All right. So what's next?
Well, I think our goal is just to grow it, you know, and get our message out and hopefully grow it with more companies. You know, I think the Move Well system, the injury prevention thing, and the app is kind of our big focus. We do a lot of other stuff too. Like I said, we do the physical demands testing. We do ergonomic risk assessments. Kind of sounds a little bit more boring, but it's a much needed thing. We do physical demands analysis. So we go out and look at jobs and analyze how much they have to lift, push, pull. And it's a really important document to have on HR and stuff to have on file. But I think for us, I mean, I think we really want to grow the Move Well system and continue to work with more companies, spread our message, and hopefully impact more people. I mean, that's kind of the whole goal. So,
this is one last question. This has always interested me because I always found it to be academically and my creativity was challenged the most when ergonomics did not make sense. Like a worker had to go do something that did not make sense the way they were doing it. Has there ever been anything that you've encountered, you know, in the workspace of someone that you're doing this analysis on, and you just say, you need to do another method because this is going to break a human.
Yeah.
You know, is there anything like that you've ever seen, or at least, you know, you've created another way to do something, or to at least, you know, build a better human that can handle this strange movement.
Right. No, I literally see that every single day that I go on site. So any job that I go and analyze, pretty much you see something that's happening and you're like, you just scratch your head. And it's not the fault of the workers. And here's the problem. Like, you have three shifts working a lot of these places. And what I've noticed is like the night shift does things totally different than the day shift. And maybe the night shift, maybe those are more temp workers, maybe they're less seasoned and they don't know how to work smarter. You know, they're working harder, not smarter. And then the day shift is more seasoned and they figured these things out and there's not any communication back and forth. Or the other thing is there may be just, there's a lot of this. It's like, this is just the way we've always done it. This is what so-and-so showed me and he showed that person. And they have this process that makes zero sense. And it's crazy. One, it's hurting them physically. And then two, it takes longer, which means production goes down. And when you're in a big manufacturing facility and you're wasting, you know, 2 minutes every hour, that equates to dollars. So literally every time I go on a job site, I see something. But the biggest thing, I mean, a lot of lifting stuff. I mean, a lot of times people are lifting super, super heavy things from the floor, where it could just be, you know, as simple as like, hey, let's put a platform here. There's people, you know, they may have a shelving unit and all the heavy stuff is stored on the top and the lighter stuff's on the bottom. You know, it's like, but you know, I think people are so busy. There's so much pressure to get product out the door. They're just not thinking about it. And the other thing we see a lot of is a lack of job rotation. So there may be somebody, there's one facility I work with, there's a lot of like fine manipulation stuff, you know, and all day long they're putting parts together, pieces together, and they'll stay in this one station for 8 hours. And it's like, well, why don't you have them rotate, you know? And it's like, oh, we never thought about that. You know, it's just like simple things. So a lot of ergonomics is pretty simple. Honestly, it doesn't take a lot to make a big impact. The most effective thing you're always going to see. So we look at different controls. So you look at work practice controls, administrative controls, or engineering controls. Work practice is more like your education piece. Here's how you lift safely, that kind of stuff. That's the easiest to implement, but it's the hardest to make sure people are doing, because people are more likely to go back doing stuff the way they're doing. Administrative controls would be like something that, you know, like a job rotation. So we're going to make sure you rotate, or we're going to make sure you do a stretching routine. And that's effective. The most effective thing is engineering controls, and that's the hardest. So they're the most costly, usually, or you may have to disrupt a whole process in a plant. So ergonomics is kind of like a puzzle, because you don't want to go in and all of a sudden, you know, recommend this thing that's going to cost $100,000 and they got to shut the plant down for an entire week to install. That's never going to happen. So what I've noticed over the past 10 years is like, try to work within what they have. Don't affect production. Don't cause any kind of shutdowns, because if they're losing money on it, it's not going to happen. You know, the whole point is to save them money. And obviously, I mean, you want to save money by preventing injuries, but the plant manager is looking more at production. He's looking at those numbers. So work within what you got. But yeah, literally every day there's something you see. But it's fun. It's like, you know, you have to be creative. We've come up with some interesting stuff and the job rotation stuff's neat and working. Like, there's a bakery we work with. It's actually a big factory that manufactures baked goods, but they have 20 different stations. And so trying to figure out, okay, what's a good rotation and what works and how are we going to make them rotate every 30 minutes and stuff. So it's like a puzzle, but those things are very effective and easy to implement.
Now, do you find that enhances productivity?
It can, yeah. I think, another example is a company we worked with. They were grinding. These people had a grinder for 8 hours a day using this grinder. And by the end of the day, these people are just exhausted. And then the quality goes way, way down. And so getting them off that we put in like a 2-hour rotation there. But getting them out of that position, you know, they feel better mentally. They're not worn out. They have a change of scenery. So they're not having as much product come back to them that has to be reworked, because they're a little bit more focused. And at the same time, I mean, their chances of having a work related injury are greatly reduced. And so that also saves the company money as well, you know, for reducing those work related injuries.
Nice. Nice. So it sounds like the industrial athlete, where they take care of themselves, they are able to go home pain free, play with their family. And then if you're really doing it right, it enhances the owner's business, the actual corporation itself, to be more productive and
absolutely
have happier employees as well. So, you know, it's very similar to the tactical athlete as well, because that's exactly what we're wanting to be able to do, is to go do the job, be pain free, be able to go home, do our thing, and not waste taxpayers' money on a bunch of injuries.
Right. That's absolutely right. You summed it up pretty good. Yeah.
Nice. So where can they find more information about this company?
Yeah. So the HealthWorks Kinesiology website is, it's hwkines.com. So it's spelled hwkines.com.
Okay.
And that's kind of a general overview of all of our services. And then our injury prevention system, like I said, is Move Well. That's spelled MUUV and then well. So you can go to movewell.com, and that's more focused just on our injury prevention system. And then we have an Instagram for that, and that's also Move Well, spelled the same way, all one word. But those would be the three best platforms to find some information.
Nice. I'll put all those links in the description below of this video and the audio files when they get posted as well. So you guys can, if you're listening, you can check those out. But, you know, David, Kevin, I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. And happy to continue on, you know, chatting, you know, ideas and things like that. So please, you know, I think some of your ideas are fascinating, and I think they can really apply to everyone. You know, whether you're a labor worker or you're sitting at a desk or you're a tactical athlete or whatever. So
we appreciate it, Steve, and definitely want to continue the conversation on our end, and would love, obviously we're big fans of you, and love your stuff and who you are as a person. And if there's anything we can collaborate on and work together, we'd love to do that for sure. So
absolutely. Well, let's do it. Keep in touch, and everybody check out the links in the description below for more information on what these guys are doing with just the industrial athlete.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.